And I'm going to be joined today by Jessica Donzie Black from the Pew Charitable Trust, and happy to have her here. She's the director of the Kids Safe and Healthful Foods Project. And really, when you think about school food, no one has done more to help create change in this country and positive change than Jess, and so really grateful that she was able to join me. We have no relationships to disclose. And Jess and I have been working for the last 3 years together on this Voices for Healthy Kids project, and it's a project of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the American Heart Association, and additional public health and social justice groups, looking to make sure that every child across this country can grow up at a healthy weight. And we do that by building a movement across the nation, looking to impact public policy and empowering advocates at the state and community level to improve the health of their communities. We do that by working with advocacy coalitions at the local and the state level. And Jess is going to talk a lot about, specifically about the school food environment and what we've been doing with competitive foods and smart snacks in schools. But I want to talk a little bit about how we provide assistance to state advocacy coalitions and local advocacy coalitions. The first thing we do is we help with polling and message research and the development of the message. Really important that we do that. We've spent a lot of time and quite frankly a lot of money digging into how people think about these issues and how people think about smart snacks issues and how they think about the whole school food environment. And there are things that from a public health perspective going into this discussion we may have thought, well, of course people would want to get rid of junk food advertisements in schools, and of course people would want to get rid of all those junk food fundraisers in schools, and of course people would want healthier school food. And folks are a lot more nuanced than those broad blanket statements. They do want healthy school food for their kids, but they understand that it happens in a unique environment. And so we put a lot of time and effort into working on figuring out the right messages and figuring out how people approach these issues. And we do that both with kind of a national overlay, where we do a national, we've done, and Pew has led most of this, but a national overlay of what the message research needs to look like. And then we do deeper dives going into each state and doing a number of states. So we bring that. And then we roll that into assistance with the media advocacy effort and helping advocates with their media advocacy campaign. We help build coalitions and help folks engage in coalitions and help them build stronger coalitions and coalitions that are representative of those communities that suffer the most from issues related to childhood obesity. We help with volunteer engagement, and then we help with organizing and advocacy. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, there is a conversation that has to be held it's being held, actually, at the national level, but there's also a conversation that has to be held at the state level and at the school district level and at the school level in thinking through how do we implement the new federal regulations around smart snacks in schools, and so we help with that. Why school foods? Nearly one in three children today is overweight or obese. Unhealthy foods in schools offer challenges to our children's health. You know, it's the one place where we really ought to be modeling what good food is. And we know that if we model good food in schools, if we provide good food, healthy food in schools, the kids will eat it. And so we ought to be giving them opportunities to see that healthy food. And kids get a lot of their calories in the school food environment, up to 50% of their calories at school. And so that's why we're focusing on the issue of school food and why it's so important. So we've got new federal regulations. We've got new federal regulations around school meals, and we've also got new federal regulations around smart snacks in schools. What we're working on from a Voices for Healthy Kids perspective are state policies that reflect the federal guidelines and also drive implementation of those federal guidelines. It's one thing to get, and it was a huge lift, quite frankly, to get the federal guidelines set up, but now we need to implement them. And that, there's a role for states in assisting school districts in that implementation, and school districts actually have to do that implementation. And so we want to make sure that we're successfully implementing all of these policies. We specifically want to make sure that schools with the highest need get the technical assistance they deserve. We've seen far too often in public health where we pass policies and schools, quite frankly, that don't need as much help get the most help. And so we're trying to change that paradigm and change that dynamic and make sure that schools with the highest need get the most support. States are allowed to go above and beyond the federal standards. Federal standards are really good. We were always curious before the federal standards came out, where they would end up and how much work we could do at the state or local level to improve upon them. The federal standards are really good, but there are small places where states can go above and beyond, and we want to help with that. In terms of the campaigns that we've seen, and Jessica will talk a little bit about this, but one of the struggles that we've seen, the federal rule says that selling junk food as a fundraiser for a school is not allowed unless you decide to opt out of that and allow a certain number of fundraisers. And what we know is that fundraisers are big business. They're not only big, they're actually bigger business for the companies that produce the junk food than they are for the schools themselves. And so there is significant political pushback there. And so we have seen a number of fights in a number of states around the issue of fundraisers, and Jess will talk a little bit more about that. But we want to address those issues like fundraisers and celebrations in school to make sure that even as kids are celebrating in their classrooms with their friends, that they're doing so in a healthy way.
Thanks, Carrie. So we've had the pleasure and the privilege of working with the Heart Association as well as others in terms of moving policy forward in the states. The whole school nutrition environment is interesting for those of you who have worked in it a long time, in that the original work done in terms of improving school nutrition standards in and out of meals happened locally, of course, and sort of set that example. It moved up to the state level, where by the time the federal government decided to update nutrition standards for both what was happening in meals and the broader environment, technically called competitive foods, but now known sort of as smart snacks. It's that idea of a la carte, vending machines, school stores, everything else. By the time the federal government did that, there were 38 states with some level of policy that was above and beyond the original national level policy. So there was tremendous diversity across the country when the updated USDA standards rolled out, and specifically in this quote unquote competitive foods environment. And what we aim to do in working with Voices and others was sort of assess, okay, where are we and where do we anticipate the challenges being in terms of states and localities that need to make major changes to catch up with the federal rules versus those where actually the biggest risk is moving backwards because their state may actually have some standards that are stronger, and we didn't want legislatures or state boards of ed to back down from those standards and say, oh, well, we just have to meet the federal standards, so we'll go here. So there was sort of looking at this from two angles as things rolled out. If people are interested in kind of that side-by-side, we literally did the side-by-side, which you can find on our website, which is healthyschoolfoodsnow.org, that you can go state by state and see sort of where the policy was at baseline compared to what the USDA standards were, and kind of see where those areas for improvement were within the state, and then possibly those things to protect and defend as we move forward. So as Carter said, as we sort of rolled this out to the states, the updated smart snacks in school policy is now in year two of implementation. So it rolled out, the policy was finalized in 2013. Schools had to start implementing it in the 14-15 school year. And so by now, schools should be a year into implementation. But with that came some turbulence along the way. So some of the biggest challenge that popped up sort of from a policy perspective was the issue of fundraisers. When USDA set the Smart Snacks policy, they included in it an opportunity for states to define an occasional fundraising exemption. So if states did nothing, the default policy is that all food sold on school campuses throughout the school day from before school to 30 minutes after the last bell have to meet the nutrition standards that USDA set. But states could set policy that the boards of ed in the states that had boards of ed or the department had the authority to allow occasional exemptions as defined by those states. Well, in many states, they either defaulted to zero or they moved policies that were, you know, reasonable limitations, 4, 5, 6. In a few states, however, to the extent we saw legislation pop up, the legislation typically was fairly extreme. And I'll show you a slide in a minute that kind of gives a sense of the landscape. So one of the areas we've really had to work on and that I would encourage people to think about is this whole idea of occasional and exemptions and those kinds of ideas. When we poll, as Carter talked about, a lot of polling, when we poll people about whether or not they think there should be healthy foods in schools, you get very high response rates. Parents across demographic lines, across political lines, across geographic lines say, yes, we should have healthy foods in schools. I want to know that when my kids go to school, those foods are healthy. But people think there should be some occasional exemptions. But most people, and in Louisiana we just released a poll that we asked specifically, you know, what's occasional? So how often do you mean by that? And 2 out of 3 parents say 5 or fewer times a year. That to them, that's what occasional is. So you have some special exemptions, you have some fun stuff once in a while. They don't mean every single day. And as Carter said, many of the fundraising opportunities have really turned into big business, where they're selling chicken sandwiches or donuts or pizza on a daily basis through different groups and different fundraising. So that's a big piece we've sort of had to look at, kind of getting into those bigger advocacy issues. And then the other issue is, this: it's complicated from an implementation perspective, how things roll out. So there aren't tremendous teeth in the Smart Snacks policy, and state agencies, you know, to some extent are each their own fiefdom in terms of enforcing those rules. So if there isn't collaboration with the Department of Education, there isn't adequate energy around getting things implemented, we may not see the implementation at the local level that the rule would imply should be happening. So there's still a huge need and opportunity for local engagement, local demand, local advocates to stand up and say, wait, we actually should be meeting this higher standard. Our kids deserve this higher standard as we move forward. And we need to continue to build that arsenal of success stories, what's working, particularly when it comes to fundraisers. This idea that schools over time have learned to live off of, to some extent, the revenue that they perceive they've gained through fundraisers is a cultural shift we really have to look at. And we have to think about, okay, in lieu of some of the traditional fundraisers that are out there and that are heavily marketed to school and school leadership and PTA leadership, what are the other opportunities? National PTA is really trying to encourage healthier fundraisers, and I think we need to really be thinking about that piece of the puzzle, because as Smart Snacks rolls out and the a la carte line may be healthier and the vending machines may be healthier, but if fundraising exemptions are happening every single day, it sort of undermines that progress made, and it becomes this tremendous opportunity for a loophole. But lessons learned, parents want the healthier standards. We have a natural community of advocates. They just need to be engaged often, and we need to help build that demand. And many states, in most states, if you're talking about this, you don't want to talk about how USDA has a new rule and there are new federal rules and we have to follow the rules. That is not really inspiring to people, nor motivating. So instead we talk about how students deserve healthy foods. We as parents want them to have healthy foods in schools. There are these guidelines that make sense to follow in order to meet that standard. So even in our advocacy work, we almost never use the word federal, because it's really about implementing locally and doing what children need and deserve to have in those communities and in those states, as opposed to trying to say, USDA passed a rule, you guys got to get that done. That doesn't move people quite as much. And just to give a sense of where we are in the fundraising landscape, this map is a work in progress because things change all the time, because so many states have actually defaulted to zero. So there's still always an opportunity for legislation or board action to change that. But the lightest color are zero exemptions. But at least at baseline, they're saying, you know what, all food sold in school, and that does not apply to, by the way, classroom parties or birthday treats or those things that aren't sold. So these are just foods sold in schools, but that's why it includes fundraisers. All food sold in schools have to meet nutrition standards, period, done. The darker blue states are the ones that say they officially said zero. So they actually adopted a policy that said we're not going to have exemptions, either for paperwork reasons or for nutrition reasons. We're just going to say this is the way it is. The next kind of greenish light color is less than 10 exemptions a year. So somehow, and the way we did the math is we consider a day, because policies are written differently. So it might say you can have one fundraiser but can last all year. Well, okay, well then you get exemptions every day. So we did it sort of by exemption days. So 10 or fewer days per year would be exemptions. The middle green is exemptions allowed, and the length is based on some school-dependent variables. So it's a little bit funky how those turn out. But the really exciting ones, and the ones that I think are sort of the lessons learned states, and that certainly got attention and has helped us to see how we need to be focused moving forward are the darker green. And those are exemptions are 10 or more for at least one grade level. But you'll see in states like Oklahoma, if you add up all the days, it actually comes to 840 school days. Kids go to school for 180 days, and that's because they allow enough exemptions that each get to be, I believe, 14 days long. And so when you do the math on it, you could have several exempt fundraisers taking place on any given day. And so what it does essentially is just say, okay, we're just not going to have nutrition standards. We're just going to call everything a fundraiser. And that is not the precedent we want to achieve. So I think the goal moving forward is really to think about sort of that fundraising culture and how we can lift up those success stories, those places that are achieving success financially without undermining the health of kids, in order to sort of move the culture towards that. We also did a little fun educational video on this that you can find at healthyschoolfoodsnow.org as well, because for so many people, they do think fundraisers are occasional. They think it's a bake sale once in a while that they brought something for, and they don't necessarily recognize that what's really happening in schools are these sort of branded fundraisers happening on a daily basis where kids are buying, you know, things instead of buying lunch every day. So some of it is just educating people. Back to Carl.
So, you know, it's amazing when you think about that map that Jess just had up, and we were told by advocates in Georgia that there's one school district in suburban Atlanta where Chick-fil-A makes over $1 million a year on just selling food for fundraisers. And so it's a really big deal, right? It's a really big deal, and it's a really big discussion, and advocates need to be prepared to have the discussion with their leaders. Because as Jeff said, parents want this. Parents want healthy school foods, and so we have put together a lot of resources at Voices for Healthy Kids to help advocates drive these conversations in their states and in their school districts. First of all, a toolkit, Make Food Choices an Easy A. Lots of issue backgrounds, resources, key messages, fact sheets, case studies, success stories. Resources for talking to policymakers about this issue. Resources for talking to the media about this issue. A summary of the message research, and then a list of national experts as well. And we are now, we did this toolkit 2 years ago, and we are now, and we did it as like it was a big book that looked a lot like the program, the paper program for this thing, and it's a little too big to try to consume. We are breaking it apart and putting it on a website that we will have up in the next few months that will be much more accessible and much more easy to consume for folks. So look for that. But in the meantime, if you go to voicesforhealthykids.org, you can find that toolkit and download it there. And also find access. And we'd invite you to check us out and check out what we're doing, voicesforhealthykids.org. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. You can reach out to Jess, her email's up there, my email's up there. I should say I'm pinch hitting today. Stephanie Tamas Sweet leads this work for us, but she had a baby girl. And so about a month ago, and so is home with her new daughter, and I'm getting to pinch hit for her today and happy to do it. But we'll be around, Jess and I will both be around, and happy to have more of a conversation with you about smart snacks in schools.
Thank you.